Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Rather than reconstructing the ancient tradition, this new calendar is an evolution of ancient practices for the modern pagan. So it's also centered around the cycle of the sun, to correspond with the Celtic wheel of the year. But each month, we have a different god or goddess, their male or female counterpart, an ancient festival, the month's zodiac sign, and the virtues of the venerated gods. The Greek wheel of the year starts in January and ends in December, and it provides a framework, a guided framework, for aligning your manifestation efforts, your life purpose, your spiritual journey to the cyclic nature of the earth. I'm George Lizos, spiritual teacher, psychic healer, and number one best-selling author. Growing up in a small and Christian community, I was judged and rejected for being gay and different. After a futile two-year attempt to change who I was born to be, I called myself a human abomination and almost took my own life. Fortunately, in my darkest moment, I saw the light and ventured on a healing journey of love, forgiveness, and spiritual awakening. Yet my dating life since hasn't always been all roses and rainbows, and my past dramas and traumas have definitely kept things spicy. Fast forward past many awkward dates and disappointing sex, I created Can't Host to challenge toxic gay stereotypes, explore the complex dynamics of gay sex and relationships, and create opportunities for healing and growth. If you're a gay guy seeking more joy, freedom, and authenticity in your sex life and relationships, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, my lovely lightworker, and welcome to another episode of the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Today, I'm continuing the series about the ancient Greek gods and goddesses based on my book, Secrets of Greek Mysticism, that's now officially out globally, and you can go to GreekMysticism.com to get all the details about it, and you can get a free workshop when you get the book. You also enter the order number into GreekMysticism.com, that page, there's a specific form there. And then when you sign up for it, you get a free workshop with me all about meeting your guardian Greek god or goddess. So make sure to head over to GreekMysticism.com to get all the details about that. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate and subscribe. That's so helpful in getting the algorithm to share this episode and the podcast to more people who will enjoy it. If you have any insights with me as you listen, I would love to hear from you. Come to Instagram at George Lizos and tell me all about it. And make sure to share this episode with friends that you know will enjoy it as well. This is the fourth episode of this series. There's going to be 6 episodes in total. The first episode was about whether the Greek gods and goddesses are real. The second one was about the difference between Greek mythology and Greek theology and spirituality. Then we talked about the Greek gods and goddesses' powers on episode 3. And in this episode, we're talking about the ancient Greek wheel of the year. And then there's 2 more episodes coming up about the ancient Greek new moon ritual of Numenia and the ancient Greek full moon ritual. So let's talk about the Greek wheel of the year. Now, if you are a pagan, a practicing pagan, a witch, or just practicing like any form of New Age spirituality, you are probably familiar with the Celtic wheel of the year that has 8 festivals, 8 celebrations around the year that correspond to the changing of the seasons, to the movement of the earth around the sun. We have the winter solstice in December, Imbolc in February, the spring equinox in March, Beltane in May, summer solstice in June, Lammas in August, the autumn equinox in September, and Samhain in November. And then in the southern hemisphere, these dates are usually advanced 6 months to coincide with the seasons in the southern hemisphere. Now, the Greek wheel of the year also follows the journey of the earth around the sun and the changing of the seasons, but it has 12 festivals. Now, let me explain the logic behind that. Now, ancient Greece was divided into different city-states rather than being a unified country, and each city-state had their own festival calendar, celebrating their patron gods and other different festivals, all again matching the seasonal changes. And although many of the different calendars' festivals correlated with lunar and seasonal events, there wasn't a common festival for the whole of Greece. For example, in Attica, in like Athens area in Greece, they had their own calendar. And in Cyprus, where I am, we had a different calendar. Certain holidays were in alignment. Like, for example, right now that I'm publishing this episode in April, we celebrate in Cyprus the Adonia Festival in honor of Adonis. Whereas in Attica, in Athens, they celebrate the Aphrodisia Festival in celebration of Aphrodite. Adonis and Aphrodite were like a couple, and therefore there is a correlation between their symbolism. So it does make sense that different city-states and parts of Greece would celebrate the gods and the festivals based on their own mythology and their own connection with their own local deities. But at the same time, those festivals were in alignment with the changing of the earth. Now, what the modern pagans, the modern Greek pagans have done, specifically the Supreme Council of Ethnic Hellenes, they've created a contemporary Greek wheel of the year to guide religious practices that we can all follow. And I've included that in the book, and I'm going to run you through all the different festivals right now. So rather than reconstructing the ancient tradition, this new calendar is an evolution of ancient practices for the modern pagan. So it's also centered around the cycle of the sun to correspond with the Celtic wheel of the year. But each month, we have a different god or goddess their male or female counterpart, an ancient festival, the month's zodiac sign, and the virtues of the venerated gods. The Greek Wheel of the Year starts in January and ends in December, and it provides a framework, a guided framework, for aligning your manifestation efforts, your life purpose, your spiritual journey to the cyclic nature of the Earth. Makes sense, right? So, let's quickly go through it. I'm gonna talk about the 12 festivals, starting in January and finishing in December, and pay attention to not just the god and goddess that rule over that festival, but also how that festival relates with the changing of the earth, with the changing of the seasons. Because remember, pagan traditions are earth-based traditions. It has to do with observing the earth, flowing with the earth's energies, and aligning our own livelihood with the energies of the earth. That's how you make use of earth-based traditions. Their whole purpose is to help us align our own energy with the energy of the earth so we can be most productive on the journey to following our purpose and ascending on our soul's paths. So we start with January. In January, we celebrate the Theogamia festival, which literally translates to sacred marriage. It is a divine union between the king and the queen of Olympus, Zeus and Hera. Zeus symbolizes the divine masculine energy, the divine semen that impregnates Hera, and therefore the womb of creation, who takes that energy of Zeus, that masculine energy, into her divine feminine womb and helps bring everything to life. And simultaneously, during this time of the year, we also make a sacred promise to ourselves by setting up our intentions and our resolutions for the new year. So the Theogamia festival marks the start of a new cycle in our spiritual ascension journey, a new cycle of the year, during which we can grow, we can learn lessons, we can expand our consciousness. This is a great time to remind ourselves that we are balanced beings. We're not just feminine beings or just masculine beings. We have both energies within us. And by matching and balancing that energy, we can follow our purpose more successfully. Then in February, we celebrate the Anthesteria Festival. Many of you will be familiar with the Anthesteria Festival because it is one of those festivals that survived to the modern times as well. The Anthesteria Festival celebrates the very beginning of spring, because then we have the spring equinox that celebrates the beginning of spring as well, but this is like the very beginning of spring. It included a three-day celebration that included the opening of new wine, wine drinking contests, and the celebration of the sacred wedding between Dionysus and the city, and also paying respects to the ancestors. What's interesting about this festival is that it marks the balance between communicating with the world of the dead and honoring our ancestors, but also celebrating the beginning of spring. So it's marked by feelings of both excitement and joy, as well as sadness and mystery. And that's essentially what Dionysus is all about. He's very contradictory as a god, and he's characterized by this duality. He's both visible and he's invisible. He's dead and alive. He's wild and he's civilized. And therefore, during the Anthesteria Festival, we celebrate the cyclic nature of life, the birth and rebirth of Dionysus and ourselves. Now, the ruling god of the month is Poseidon. Poseidon, apart from the god of the oceans, he's the god of change and transformation and also the underworld, because he moves the earth. He has been described as the earth shaker. So during February, during the Anthesteria Festival, during the beginning of spring, we leverage the cyclic transformative energy of nature to kickstart our path of manifesting our desires, of following our purpose, of expanding human consciousness. And then we go into March, the Spring Equinox Festival, or the Asclepia Festival, in honor of Greek god of medicine Asclepius. Now, this festival also marks the beginning of spring, a later beginning of spring, from which point the days start growing longer, which is why we have daylight saving time around this time as well. And as there is increasing sunlight coming into the world, there is increasing physical and spiritual renewal. This increased sunlight restores our energy field, it amplifies our creativity, it boosts our drive for taking action and moving forward. The goddess of the month is Athena, who is the goddess of civilization, strategy, and wisdom. And therefore, she's very productive in her energy. She has this kick-starting quality of moving forward and taking action. But also Asclepius, the god of medicine. And therefore, he brings in the energetic qualities of the physical and the spiritual sun as an energy clearer, healer, and savior, and keeps on showering this sunlight into our lives, into our hearts, into the earth, so we can really start taking action towards our purpose, a journey that concludes during the summer solstice. In April, we celebrate the Charisia or Aphrodisia holiday. Now, Aphrodisia, of course, comes from Aphrodite. Charisia comes from the Charites, the three graces, the three consorts of Aphrodite. Now, as I told you, in Cyprus, we celebrate the Adonia in celebration of Adonis, but it's a very similar kind of vibe with it. So what do we celebrate during the Aphrodisia festival? We celebrate the completed rebirth of nature through Aphrodite's regenerating power. The three graces, Charites in Greek, they are Aglaia, which means the shining one, Ephrosyne, which means the joyful one, and Thalia, which means the blooming one. So if you think about what they symbolize, shining, joy, and blooming, these consorts of Aphrodite and nature goddesses, they express Aphrodite's qualities in the world. It's the time of the year that the earth has fully bloomed and it's shining, it's joyful, and so are we as we've taken action and we're starting to enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Spiritually, this is a time during which our bodies and our souls have awakened following the winter months, and with the increased solar energy, we're making progress towards following our purpose and manifesting our desires. In May, we celebrate the Thargelia festival that celebrates God Apollo and Artemis, his twin sister. Thargelia is named after the first harvest. That's what it means. So it celebrates the richness and the fertility of the earth following its regeneration by Aphrodite. Remember that Aphrodite, aside from the goddess of love, sex, and beauty that she was marketed as, she's a goddess of creation. She is a goddess that creates form, all types of forms. That's why in Cyprus she was venerated as Aphrodite Morpho, meaning that which gives form to things. So Aphrodite has given form to nature and to life and to ourselves and to our purpose in April, and therefore in May we have the first harvest that celebrates that, which, as I said, is marked by the birth of the twin gods Apollo and Artemis, whose combined qualities nourish the soil, they protect it from pollution, and they bring about an abundant harvest. Why? Because Apollo is the light of the universe, while Artemis is the purity of the universe. So Apollo's divine light fertilizes and matures the crops, while Artemis's purity during this month help the crops and ourselves to awaken our inner light and purity, leading to growth of the earth and leading to powerful epiphanies that speed up our own ascension journey. And then in June, we have the summer solstice. Now, this marks the longest day of the year and the beginning of summer. On this day, we also celebrate Apollo, whose light and presence are now at their peak. Now, we also celebrate another sun god, Helios. Helios represents the physical sun, while Apollo represents a spiritual sun. The ruling god of the month, though, is Hermes, who is the god of enlightenment. So, with Apollo's increasing light, there comes enlightenment, and therefore, we have Hermes leading this month. So, during this time, flowers are in full bloom. Trees are bountiful with fruits, and nature is at its most expressive stage. At the same time, our manifestation power is also at its maximum during this time. And that's why we're reaping the fruits of our labor. In July, we celebrate the Dioscuria festival, honoring Zeus's twin sons, Castor and Polydeuces, or Pollux. Are you familiar with the myth of Castor and Pollux? It's a really touching one. So according to the myth, when Castor, who was mortal, was killed, his immortal brother Pollux asked Zeus to resurrect him. So to align with universal laws, Pollux offered to share his time in the underworld with Castor so that they could alternate between the living and the dead. How touching, right? Zeus was also touched by their brotherly love, so he transformed them into stars that now form part of the constellation Gemini. So now you know how the Gemini constellation is formed and where that myth comes from. So we celebrate that brotherly love during the Dioscuria festival. Now it's called Dioscuria because the twin sons of Zeus, they are called the Dioscuri, and therefore it's a Dioscuria. So what does that mean? What does this myth mean for us? It's another reminder to honor the cyclic nature of life and of our souls specifically. Castor and Pollux help us see the bigger picture and gain a deeper perspective on life and our spiritual paths. So they help us acknowledge the immortality of our souls and realize that our journey never truly ends, which takes the pressure off and allows us to better flow with and enjoy life. And then we go into August, and in August we celebrate the Irea festival in honor of Hera. Now this was a sporting festival, a female sporting festival, held every 4 years at Olympia, probably around the same time as the Olympic Games. So it was the equivalent sporting event of the Olympic Games for women, because the Olympic Games were only for men. So the Olympic Games were dedicated to Zeus, and the Irea were dedicated to Hera, and therefore celebrated Hera's feminine qualities. An interesting fun fact is that certain scholars have suggested that the female winner of the Irea Games would marry the male winner of the Olympic Games. And this symbolizes the completed cycle of land cultivation brought forth by Hera's and Zeus's feminine and masculine energies. So again, we have these blending, this balancing of the masculine and the feminine with this wedding. But going back to the Irea, the worship of female goddesses at Olympia was very ancient, and it was connected to the fertility of the earth and the prosperity that it brought to the community. And Hera is really the goddess of earthly life. She guides life on earth from the surface of the earth all the way up to the atmosphere. And therefore, whatever part of the earth is habitable by humans is guided by Hera. So all the prosperity we experience in the world, that's Hera's work. Because this festival is also connected with the earth, it's also connected with the other earth goddesses, such as Demeter, and the fruitfulness of the crops, the earth, and ourselves during this time of the year. In September, we move into the autumn equinox, which marks the beginning of autumn, from which point the nights start growing longer than the days. And we can see this in myth with the goddess Persephone's descent to the underworld, and therefore the gradual withering of the earth as we move towards the winter solstice. So during this time of the year, the days get shorter, we start using more artificial lighting and heat, which is one of the reasons that this month's ruling god is Hephaestus. So we have the spring equinox, which is all about increasing energy, action-taking, masculine energy, extroverted energy. And then we have the autumn equinox, which is all about recession, relaxation, going within, feminine energy, introversion, celebrating the abundance of the earth, reaping the benefits of our labor and preparing for the change ahead. In October, we're celebrating the Heraclea Festival in honor of Hercules, who is not a hero, but a god. Specifically, Hercules is a sun god that rules over the darker, wintry months of the year. So we have Apollo ruling the summer sun, and we have Hercules ruling the darker, wintry sun of the year. So what's happening during this time? We have waning solar power. So the Earth shifts its attention from expression towards recalibration and introversion. It withers, it gathers its energy, it prepares its soil for its resurrection in the following spring equinox. And likewise, we do the same thing during this time. Hercules guides us to shift our attention from creation to self-introspection so we can go within, access our wisdom, review our journey, and start preparing for what's to come. The ruling god of the month, though, is Aries, whose virtues are bravery and courage, equipping us with embracing this energetic shift and the benefits that it brings. In November, we celebrate the Memactiria Festival in honor of Zeus Memactis, which means blusterous. Now, this is literally the side of Zeus, the aspect of Zeus that stands for the unpredictable weather conditions that Greeks experience in the beginning of the winter months. And we certainly experience those here in Cyprus, so I do get it why the ancient Greeks celebrated that. I don't know how the weather condition is wherever you are in the world. But aside from the physical meaning of this, there's also a spiritual meaning behind this. In the ancient times, the festival was a way of appeasing the god and praying for a mild but rainy winter. So it was the beginning of the winter. It was all about praying that let it be rainy, but also kind to us, so that it would lead to fertile land and abundant crops. But aside from Zeus during this month, we also celebrate all the elemental deities, the raw, wild, the unbridled energy of Artemis, as well as other nature deities such as the nymphs and the hours. Spiritually, it is a month to reconnect with the purity of our soul, to refine our purpose as definition, to assess our desires, to start thinking about what we want to accomplish in the new year. That's why most people start reviewing their year in November. When you think of like companies, they do their annual general meetings during this time. When you think of ourselves, we start thinking about resolutions for the new year. So it's a time to go within. In December, we celebrate the winter solstice, or as we call it in the ancient Greek Wheel of the Year, the Triesperon. This literally translates to three nights in Greek, signifying the natural phenomenon that occurs during this time of the year. So, in between the 20th until the 23rd of December, during these 3 days, the length of the day and night is the same, and on the night of the 24th through the 25th, the days start growing longer again. Christians celebrate this as the birth of Jesus, which of course is an appropriation of the birth of baby Hercules or baby Dionysus, depending on the tradition. So during this time, we celebrate the birth of the sun, essentially, because the days eventually start growing longer after these 3 nights of stagnancy. So what does the winter solstice represent? It represents a time of planting the first seeds, and therefore setting our intentions and desires. It celebrates the return of the sun, the promise that things will start to grow again. Spiritually, the birth of the sun in December leads into the Theogamia in January, and therefore it's the beginning of a new spiritual journey, with new lessons to learn, challenges to overcome, knowledge to acquire. The ruling goddess of the month is Hestia, one of my favorite goddesses, who's the goddess of the hearth, the center of every single piece of consciousness in the universe, including ourselves and our homes. And therefore, she helps us create a solid foundation for the year ahead. Which brings us to the conclusion of the Greek Wheel of the Year, starting in January and ending in December. Now, in the book, In Secrets of Greek Mysticism, I have guidance, step-by-step guidance to celebrating all the festivals so you can celebrate them. We celebrate them on the last Sunday of the month. And we celebrate them by constructing an altar, consecrating the altar, activating the altar, and then carrying out a ritual that has to do with reciting Orphic hymns to the different gods of each festival, setting our intentions, and really appreciating the ruling gods of the month. Remember that the ancient Greek religion is not about fearing the gods or having a transactional relationship with the gods. Instead, it's about appreciating the gods for the grace already given. We do rituals and we make offerings and libations, not to get something from the gods, but to establish a communion with the gods so we can feel their gifts and the wisdom that has already been given to us. Alrighty, thank you so much for joining me for the fourth episode of this series. Be sure to tune in for the next two. If this is the first episode you're listening to, make sure to go back and listen to the previous three episodes. And make sure to reach out on Instagram and let me know how you enjoyed it. And make sure to grab a copy of Secrets of Greek Mysticism at GreekMysticism.com or anywhere books are sold. Thank you for tuning in. If you have any insights or a story to share, message me on Instagram at GeorgeLizos and tell me all about it. I would love to hear from you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.